T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Boomer Esiason is with us. Boomer, long time, Adam, man. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great, Adam. Thanks for having me on, Dustin. How you doing?
Good, Boomer. I almost said it. Almost called you Adam. Thanks for coming on, buddy. Sorry about that.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's great to have you with us, Boomer. Lot to talk about. You know, it feels like in Cleveland, and you know as well as anybody what it's like to have a good quarterback in Cleveland, because you really played against the last quarterback, good quarterback in Cleveland with Bernie, and it's been one terrible quarterback after the next. I know it's only been 2.5 games, but it feels like the Browns finally got it right. Do you agree?
I do 100% to agree. I thought the Browns were going to take Sam Darnold, and I was hoping the Jets were going to take Baker Mayfield, but it was flipped, and I was a big believer in both, because I wanted the Giants here in New York to take Sam Darnold with the second overall pick and not Saquon Barkley. But, you know, things work out for the best, and certainly Baker has the personality to be that guy. Interestingly enough, when Baker won the Heisman Trophy, he came into our NFL Today studio, and of course, as soon as one of these guys come in, Bill Cowher takes him in the corner and starts grilling him and talking to him and interviewing him. So I asked him after the interview, that little 10-minute time that he spent with Baker, what do you think? He goes, I could go to war with this kid, man. I could win with this guy. This guy is a winning guy. He's got it, Boomer, I can tell you right now. So Coach Cowher immediately gave his stamp of approval the moment that he met Baker, and I don't think any of us have been disappointed by watching the way that he's been playing.
Boomer, you think the Browns made a mistake by not starting him out at the start of the season?
You know, only the coaches internally know that. You know, only they truly understand whether or not a guy is ready. And, you know, quite frankly, you don't bring in Tyrod Taylor to be sitting there on the sideline when you probably promised him at least a start to come in and run the OTAs and the spring practices and all that kind of stuff. So they probably felt a little bit of loyalty to Tyrod. They probably wanted Baker to sit on the sideline to watch a little bit. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. That's exactly what happened with Patrick Mahomes last year. You know, he sat behind Alex Smith. Alex Smith went on to have his best single regular season ever. And then they realized what they had in Patrick after watching him in practice and, of course, their last game against Denver last year. So everybody's a little bit different. I started 4 games my rookie year. I was completely in over my head. I had no idea what I was doing. And I think that, Adam, if I lived in the era of social media after that first year, I probably would have quit football.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about it all the time. Social media, you know, there's some positives of it. But, man, it can be awful for players and radio people. It's pretty brutal.
And TV people. I go against the Browns, and the Browns fans want to come after me. Ah, you're just a Bengal fan, you know. at the end of the day, you know, I try to give as best I can an unbiased opinion about a lot of different players and coaches and things of that nature. And, you know, quite frankly, I think that Todd Haley is great for Baker Mayfield. I think they're going to have their personalities are going to be combustible. I love that. I love the fact that there'll be a little friction there. And I know one thing, knowing Todd Haley for as long as I have known him, is that he will not back down, and he will not take his foot off the pedal of his young quarterback. And that young quarterback needs to be taught how to be a professional football player, how to prepare for games, how to deal with all the ups and downs that come along with the adversity that you face, especially when you are a rookie quarterback. And there's no question, I think, that all these kids, because I did it, and I know most other quarterbacks have done it too, go through like a period of like, do I belong? Can I do this? Can I handle everything that comes along with the position? And I would just say the fact that, you know, Baker's 23 is a little bit older than Sam Darnold, and he has been around a little bit, and he's always had a chip on his shoulder, that he is probably the perfect quarterback for Cleveland right now.
But was it tougher playing here with the fans or playing in Pittsburgh?
Back in the day, we played at the big old municipal stadium there, and that place was a bitch, man. I'm telling you. people always say, what was the favorite road stadium you played in? I always said that place, because we had a football field behind us on our sideline. We could actually do wind sprints after the game if we had to. But it was just a unique place. It was just, you know, the Browns were good back then. They have a terrific fan base. And I've said this on many national programs when they did pick Baker, that the at least the Browns are now going to have a pulse because, you know, the NFL is better when the Browns are good. The NFL is better when the Oakland Raiders are good. The NFL is better when the Jets are good. These are all teams that have been down for a while. And when you see a pulse and you see the fans start to believe, you understand why ratings are up. You understand why the popularity of the NFL is back after about a 5-6 year hiatus after dealing with domestic violence issues, flag issues, switching issues, whatever issue the NFL had, the flake gate, spy gate, this gate, that gate. At least now we can really focus on, you know, our young great talent, our spectacular young quarterbacks that I think are going to be great for years and years and years to come. And I think this generation of young football fan can really identify with the Baker Mayfields, the Sam Darnolds, and, of course, the great Patrick Mahomes and with what he's doing in Kansas City.
Boomer, what's your opinion of Hugh Jackson as a head coach?
We don't love him, but we want him out.
Well, you know, I don't like ever calling for anybody's job or any of that stuff. You know, I know you. I've known him for a long time. Yeah. He was very successful as an assistant coach down in Cincinnati. I think players like playing for him. I know for a fact that the players that played for him in Oakland and also in Cincinnati really do like playing for him. I just always think like he's in a bad spot. Like, I don't know why, you know, I feel like he's got to break in another quarterback. And if they continue to lose, you know, it's mainly not because of him sometimes, but it's because of the circumstances surrounding him. So I want to see the full body of work with Baker. You know, I saw his post-game press conference or post-game meeting with the team after they beat Baltimore in Cleveland. I thought that was awesome. I saw how the players and Jabril Preppers reacted to him. So I still think that they believe in him and they're playing hard for him. They just got to get some more wins here. And then at the end of the year, I guess a determination will be made.
Boomer, when you talk about the Browns and their struggles now this week, they play against Tampa Bay. You would think this is a week where the offense would really have a great chance to get going because Tampa Bay's got a great offense, should score plenty, but their defense stinks.
Their defense is one of the worst in the league. Yeah. Oddly enough, Adam, we've been talking about it incessantly now for the last 3 days here in New York, and the reason for that is because the New York Giants play Atlanta, San Francisco, and Tampa three of their next four games.
Yeah.
And everybody's wondering whether or not Eli Manning should retire, what's going on. And my point is, if you can't score points against these three defenses, then, you know, you really shouldn't be playing in the NFL if you are a 37-year-old quarterback. So a little bit different when you're dealing with a first-year pro and you got to go through all the gymnastics of getting him ready. But I would think this week has got to be a week where they do put up at least 24 to 30 points. I mean, and you should expect to do that because even though they fired their defensive coordinator, Mike Smith, they don't have great players. And, you know, I know Mark Duffner personally, their new defensive coordinator. He's going to bring a lot of energy to that team, and he's going to be a lot more aggressive. I don't necessarily know that he would be sitting back, and I'm sure that Todd Haley, as he's preparing for this game, knows that. And I would think that there is going to be an opportunity for huge plays. So hopefully Baker gets back on track and we see the exciting football player that we saw the week before, assuming that his ankle's okay and that he can continue to move around and protect himself.
Boomer, the Browns obviously are very thin at wide receiver. Obviously, they traded Josh Gordon. You've got a bunch of injuries here. You basically got Jarvis Landry and a bunch of rookies that haven't done anything.
Yeah.
We've talked about the possibility of the Browns trading for Amari Cooper. He obviously has been very inconsistent since his first 2 years. They've been inconsistent as a franchise. If you're the Browns, are you looking to make that kind of move? He's got a year left after this year on his contract. It's pretty big money. What would you
do? You know, it's not like you're trading for a relief pitcher or a designated hitter. This is a wide receiver that's out there, that West Coast offense of John Gruden, and now he's got to come halfway across the country in the middle of the season and learn a whole new system, and he's got to play with a rookie quarterback. I don't know the answer to that. I would be unlikely to do that. I think that I want to protect my future assets, and I know that I feel like I got a pretty decent defense, although they're giving up a lot of points. It's easy to say trade this guy, trade that guy, but in the NFL, that is really, really hard to do, unless it is a veteran quarterback who could handle it and a veteran, say, running back or tackle, I think, that could handle it. Any other position, you know, it's very difficult to really assimilate to a team in the middle of the season.
Boomer, when's enough enough with Vontaze Burfict?
Oh, gosh.
I'm sick of him. I can't, you know, I can't stand the guy. You know, I'm a former Bengal, so in this instance, I'm embarrassed by it, I guess, because I'm attached to the organization. And I think the Steelers have every right to be calling him out. I think anybody who watches this game and knows who Vontaze is and some of the lines that he has crossed over the last 3 of the 4 years, it's just enough's enough already. The game is so great right now because I think a lot of players are starting to understand how they need to tackle people, how careful they have to be to, you know, get their head out of the mix. And I know for old school traditional football fans, it's that's a hard thing to listen to. But take it from me, somebody who played 14 years in the NFL, I have a lot of teammates that are dealing with all sorts of issues from ALS to Parkinson's to dementia. You know, it all came from the same place. It all came from our game that I love so much, and I want this game to survive. So in order for it to survive, we have to adapt and we have to make changes. And we have to understand what those changes are and why we're making those changes. And we're doing it so guys like Antonio Brown don't have to worry about getting their head taken off deliberately by, you know, a lunatic on the middle of the football field. Yeah. So I hope they suspend him. I hope they find the hell out of him if they don't kick him out of the league. Because I think you get maybe one or two chances and that's it. And then when you saw what he did to Antonio Brown on Sunday, I mean, it just made me sick to my stomach.
And the Bengals have enabled this, Boomer. They've defended him. Marvin Lewis has defended him every step of the way. I think the Bengals should step forward and suspend him themselves. They've enabled all these bad guys that they brought into the team. I think they're a big part of this.
You know, my sense is that they probably feel sorry for him. And what I mean by that, I'll tell you what I mean by that. I think what I mean by that is. Every person's different. Every person brings something different to the team. There are different levels of understanding. And because Vontaze Perfect has number one draft pick talent and he fell out of the draft and was a free agent signing, is all you need to know about the problems that he created at, I think it was Arizona State. And if you look back in his history, this guy is probably been in a lot of trouble, and you got to go way back and you got to wonder why he was in trouble. They probably know him better than we do, so there are certain things that they try to either mask or cover up for him to help him, because they want the best out of him, not only as a football player, but they're hoping that, you know, he could be a better human being. And I don't think any of these lessons have really stuck with him, and that's why it's so bothersome for most of us who have watched this guy play and the way that he has played and with such reckless abandon that it's going to be not too far in the future, if they continue to allow him to do this, where he's seriously going to hurt somebody.
Boomer, is the league as balanced as it's ever been, or is that just prisoner of the moment?
I think the rules kind of balance it out. Well, I'll tell you why. We all do picks. I'm sure you guys do picks on Fridays. You know, the best week I've had thus far is like an 11-5 or 11-5 week, I think I've had.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be something that's imbalanced or somebody that's hurt or somebody that's having a bad day. Who would have thought that Jacksonville last week would have been embarrassed the way they were at the hands of the Dallas Cowboys?
Or the Bears losing to the Dolphins.
Right, to Brock Osweiler, who's undefeated against the Bears in his career, believe it or not. How
crazy.
Wacky is that?
Yeah.
I mean, so I love the fact that the league is unlike the NBA, where you kind of know who the final four teams are going to be unless somebody severely gets injured.
Right.
In the NFL, we really have no idea. I mean, I could look and say that the Chargers and the Ravens are really good under the radar teams, and I think they will be in the mix come the playoffs. I could probably tell you, because of Brady and Belichick's history, that they'll probably be in the playoffs. You know, over in the NFC, it looks like the Rams and everybody else. But that could change a week or 2 weeks from now, due in large part to injury, or if one of these quarterbacks goes down. What happens to the Kansas City Chiefs if Patrick Mahomes gets hurt, God forbid?
Right.
So that's the league we live in, and the unpredictability of it and the unpredictable nature of it, I think, is what makes it so fascinating.
By the way, Boomer, of course, for those who don't know, does the morning show on WFAN in New York. He's been doing it for a long time now. Greg Giannotti doing it with him. And New York sports, outside of the Yankees, and they lost in the playoffs, is a disaster, Boomer. I mean, I know you love the Rangers. I know you love the Rangers, but like the basketball teams stink, the football teams stink, the Mets are a complete mess. What a mess right now.
I know Browns fans' pain. I can tell you that right now. But I do know this, that a number of our teams here are trying to rebuild in this New York market. Now, they said it's impossible to do that, but the Rangers are in the midst of doing that. The Knicks finally are in the midst of doing that. They're not going to go out and get, you know, a guy like Carmelo Anthony anytime soon again. I hope not anyway. But for the most part, we are not Boston, that's for sure. We are dealing with the dregs of the sports world, but hopefully some of these teams will turn around very soon, because I'm getting sick and tired of having to criticize everybody.
Yeah. Hey, when you see Andy Dalton pass you in Bengals yards, do you root for him? Do you get angry about it?
No. I root for him. He's such a great kid, man. I'm telling you. I feel bad for him and Marvin, because I like those guys a lot. I love, you know, the way they carry themselves. They're really they're true professionals. They just can't get over the Pittsburgh Steelers for whatever reason. But I know one thing: if I played today, I would have had five times more yards than I threw
for. Oh my
for.
God!
And you could bank on that. I just wish I were 30 years younger, because I'd be $150 million more richer.
Well, you remind me, like, your last year, you came back with the Bengals, and I think you threw like 13 touchdowns and one pick. What happened? I don't remember. Why'd you stop playing?
Well,
I can't remember now.
You know why? I'll tell you why. Because, number one, I had the entree into the Monday night booth for the third year in a row.
Yeah.
So ABC Monday night asked me to do the Monday night football for this was the third year in the row they had asked me, and they told me if I had turned it down this time, they were really, you know, they were going to lose interest in me and everything else.
Right.
And I wasn't making a lot of money with the Bengals at the time. However, Mike Brown did ask me to come back. He offered me a two-year contract. And then I just sat in his office and I said, man, I don't know if I can give you 32 more games like I just gave you these last five. I put everything I possibly could in those last five games. So reality hit me over the head. And plus, they weren't offering me $25 million a year. If
not
they
crazy.
Were, I can guarantee you, Adam, I would have went back and played.
Oh, I mean, the money now is nuts.
You'd have sucked it up for $30
million. I mean, Brock Osweiler made, what did he make, $20 million last year? Brock Osweiler?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It's nuts.
Me and Phil Sims commiserate all the time. Brock Osweiler has made more than me and Phil Sims combined.
Wow.
Oh, my God. But that's good for him. I mean, listen, I'm happy for all those. That's why we went on strike in 1987, so all these guys could actually benefit from it. And I think the league, you know, at least from the money standpoint for the players nowadays, is so much more impressive than it was for us. But that was, you know, that was 30 years ago.
Yeah. But before we let you go, I know you're always doing great work with your foundation. Anything going on with that?
You know what? Gunner just turned 27, and he's awesome right now, and I'm so proud of him. And he's fighting his cystic fibrosis, Adam, like a champ. And there's been a couple really huge breakthroughs over the last 3 years that are definitely impacting him and other CF patients all across the country. And he's advocating on behalf of those patients. He's giving out scholarships to kids all across the country. And I just couldn't be any prouder of what he's turned into as a man.
That's awesome.
Boomer, what do you think about what's going on at Maryland right now? I'm sorry to ask you. I thought about that for a second. We saw the article about their coach last week. It seems like it's just an awful situation.
Yeah, you know, I'm on record as saying I wish we could just get rid of the AD and the president and start over.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
I mean, it's been the football and basketball program there over the last 10 years, has not really been very good. And there's been other issues behind the scenes that people don't see and don't hear about. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we lost a kid on the practice field. He was out there working out with the strength coach and passed away. And somebody has to be held accountable. And I know they're going to try to hold the coach accountable. I'm sad about it. It's my university. Mm-hmm. I love it. I have great memories from there. And hopefully we'll overcome this. Hopefully, you know, we can get back on our feet here in the next few years. But this is going to be a tough one to overcome.
Boomer, you're the best, man.
Thanks, Boomer. Really appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it, guys, all the time, anytime.
Yep, you
got it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.